Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests, Tim Meadows, Tony Charlene, and James Mannion.
Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. That is me. Oh my goodness, Mr. Mannion, Tony Charlene, and Tim Meadows back in the house. I don't think he's been here this year, so very happy to see you guys. I have many things to talk about today. Oh, ask my wife, Danielle, to my left.
I'm fine. No, please. No introduction needed. I get it.
Come on. I'm just so used to you. I'm desensitized
I'm
to your presence.
I'm just an appendage that it's like I'm your purse. You don't introduce your purse, do you?
No, I introduce my cell phone.
Exactly.
All right.
So really, no, I'm glad I'm here.
Okay. But this is why I have her here, because I do... Well, I've invited
so
you to the show. You're always busy.
Thing.
Yeah, no, this is why I'm just...
No, she's not going to stay through the whole thing.
No, I'm not. He's told me to leave.
Don't be that way. You know I invite you and you tell
he
you,
does.
You
he
and you're
me.
Always busy. But I had to have her here to corroborate a story because I know Tony wouldn't believe me.
Tony, why don't you believe my husband?
Anytime I talk about basketball, she assumes the worst
in
me.
Okay.
She's no, like, can't believe I don't have my children stretch, for one.
You should have Sydney stretch.
Really? You really think Sydney okay. needs to stretch
well,
before
I will tell you
practice?
This. Matt, I've never seen him stretch a day in his life. He just runs right into the sport. It's like, you know, he never warms up for anything. So you don't. You don't
okay.
stretch.
All right.
And you have injuries. So
I get it.
Just...
And we got Mr. Yoga Master fucking
Tim Meadows. I do a lot
Tim
of yoga, guys.
Here.
And so does Tim. So, you know, ask us if you have questions.
I don't know what James.
Yeah, the first rule of exercise.
James,
is
you stretch.
I've been trying to get myself to stretch a little bit after like exercise, but I hate
after.
Stretching.
What
I've heard
before,
that after.
Though?
I've heard that after's good, like after a run or like cardio or something, it's good to stretch after. That's what I've heard. But I'm always hearing conflicting things, and I don't know what I'm doing really, and I don't like stretching.
Yeah, you don't do elongated stretches before, you do them after, but you still do like short little stretches before.
Good to know.
Okay. James, we're really going to need your young, supple mind on this because it's going to be, I need at least two scenes out of this. You're going to have to remember the details and start the second scene. I require your young mind to remember all these. Okay.
Okay.
But I sent Tim a video of something that happened this weekend just so he would get a taste of what I'm talking about. So he got a taste of it, but I just want to expand on what I sent him. So I sent Tim a video of a moment in a game where one of the parents was saying to me, we had just scored a basket and our team was up by 16. And I just told one of our players to go, steal the ball back. And a parent from the other team goes, you're up by 16. Hey, you're winning by 16. You're winning by 16. Like he wants to make it clear I should stop coaching or stop being intense or stop telling my guy to steal. He's scolding me is what he's doing. And I sent this. It's the best moment of my life, really. And Tim saw it. But there's this angle of just one basket, and you hear this guy off camera saying it. He's going, you're up by 16, you're up by 16. I don't say shit to him. I don't look at him. I don't acknowledge him. The ball goes down the court. You don't see anybody in the angle. And then you see my daughter coming back in the angle with the ball, scores. And there's a nice little pause, and I go, 18.
Oh, boy.
So you were, like, imitating the, like, up by 16. Or you corrected the guy.
He's correcting him. Yeah, like, yeah, actually, yeah, we're up by 18.
No, it's 18, you motherfucker.
Dunking in his face, yeah.
Sydney dunked on them, and then Matt dunked on him, is basically what happened.
But let me digress. I've had 3 weeks in a row where some parent from the other team has said something to me. And I know if I told this story without Danielle telling me, I'd be going, the great Santini.
No, I will say this about Matt. He's definitely like an excitable coach, right? But it's never intense. It's never mean. It's never bad. But it's always energetic. You know, he's just an energetic person, but it's always like excited and like believing in the kids and passing and trying and always coaching. So even if we're up by a lot, he's still trying to teach them. He doesn't feel like just because we're up by a lot that they can't be trying their hardest and working.
Thank you, honey.
So that, I will say that. Because I'm of the same.
But let's
say you love this man that you're talking about.
I do.
You got to take that into consideration.
And also take into consideration, she got into trouble 3 weeks ago. Yes. So Sydney gets knocked to the ground. Some kid hits her in the throat. And she goes to the ground crying, right? Yeah. And then the play stops. No foul is called, but she's crying on the ground. And I go, I didn't yell at the ref. I just went up to him and went, hey, ref, you know, she gets punched in the throat and we don't get a foul. I didn't go, hey, blah, 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 blah. I just said it like that. And he goes, I didn't see it. And we moved on. So the game's moving on. Sits now on the bench because she, you know, just she's crying or she was crying.
To be fair, I have to say the other side, which she goes, she got punched in the throat. Like, you weren't that calm. You did.
I said she got punched in the throat. No foul, ref. I'm not right next to him.
Yeah,
I'm
projecting. Heard, though, I did hear you like, she got punched in the throat.
And may I interject? Sydney's down on the ground crying. And this is just so I get a visual.
No. I had gone to
you're
Sydney.
All about the coach? Okay.
No, I'm gotcha. On the ground with Sydney because I saw it first. And I'm as a parent, I'm not supposed to run out on the field or the court. But no one saw it. And my daughter's crying. So as a mother, I'm just out there and I don't give a fuck.
Of course.
And then I get told, like, get off. And then Matt.
I let her back to the bench. Then I said my piece, if that's what you mean to me.
And Matt, and she had told Matt I got punched in the throat. So Matt hadn't seen it, but she had said to him, you know, he punched me in the throat or something like that. So this is what's happening.
So I just repeat what she said to me. At this point, I don't know what's happening in the stands. Now, what picks up, you want to take over?
So there is a parent, like, somehow I ended up on the wrong side of
the wrong bleacher
and I'm on like the other team's bleacher with another parent that I'm friendly with, and I keep hearing this guy like talking to the coach, just being like, she's fine, like she's okay, hey, punch in the throat, those are some tough words, like, yeah, she's fine. Meanwhile, my daughter's crying, and I just was annoyed that, like, either say nothing, you can say nothing as a parent, or just say, like, or be empathetic. Like, it's still a child that says she got punched in the throat, right? I think at that point, those are the two options. There wasn't a foul called. Nothing happened to their team because of it. So there's nothing to be defensive about. She got punched in the throat. Matt said she got punched in the throat. And then this guy starts going off. Like, oh, she's fine. She can get punched in the throat. Blah, blah, blah.
His thing was semantics. He said she got hit in the throat, not punched in the throat.
Whatever. I just thought he was
But that's what he was all upset about.
So I thought he was being callous. Because, like, it's still a 9-year-old little girl on the ground crying. So, like, whatever your thoughts, fuck off. Like, don't say anything or be empathetic. Those are your two choices.
So halftime comes.
So I'm steaming because I'm like, fuck this guy. Like, fuck you. So I'm steaming and I couldn't not say something. So halftime comes because I'm a human.
And that's why we're married.
So halftime comes and I went up to him with like a big kind of smile, but it was like, hey, I went up to this guy, I said, I'm realizing I'm in the wrong stand because it's really hard to hear you being so callous about my daughter getting hurt. And then I walk away.
So this is where I start the story.
So then I guess... the guy starts to kind of not chase me, but follow me very with big strides to the other side.
That's called chasing. That's chasing. What I saw.
And then that's what Matt sees. So he sees this man chasing after his
wife. See this dude chasing after Danielle at halftime, like yelling at her, like, hey, it's... And he's still talking.
I just had a... And then he's yelling after me, like, I just said, like, she didn't get punched in the throat. I'm like, whatever. And I'm just going, whatever, whatever, whatever. Like, you know, like, just leave me alone. Like, I heard what I heard. And so then Matt's like, hey...
But she's up in, he's up
he's
in your
up
face.
He's up in my face a little bit, but not, I wasn't nervous or scared. Believe
so,
me.
Tim, what do I do at this point if some guy's yelling at my wife up in his face? Come on, please tell me what you would do.
Ooh, I love it.
I would have stepped in with my fist, probably.
Yes!
And then said to him, that's my fucking wife you're yelling at. But well, then again, I think my wife or better half would have stopped the punch from being thrown or would have saw me approaching and hopefully would have stopped it.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, you get in that position where you sort of are like looking at like, how it can be perceived, but also you sort of caught up in emotional, like, how dare you come at somebody I love like that? But I definitely would have jumped in the middle of it and been like, yeah.
Well,
what did you do?
So this guy, so Matt comes in and starts like put your hand on him, like, get away from my wife. And he's like, and I'm like, Matt, no, I got this. And he's like, don't talk to my wife. And I'm like, no, it's fine. And then another woman from the other stands comes in, like,
it
totally.
This is when it gets really good. You thought the story was over.
Then another woman from another stand comes in, is like speaking about Matt and goes, that gentleman has been too intense this entire game. And I'm like, lady, that's my husband you're talking about. And she goes, I called him a gentleman.
a lot of semantics going on.
Like, yeah.
A lot of,
like,
people getting upset. Or
I know.
Focused and on specific wording. Exactly, James. And also no rules being broken either, really.
Yeah. And I say, lady, you are escalating a situation. This has nothing to do with you. And then I'm like, and sir, I had to tell you how I felt. You are being weird about a kid getting hurt. And he's like, but I was just saying, and I was like, it doesn't matter. I don't want to escalate this. Matt, go sit down. Lady, go sit down. I was like, you're all escalating this. Chill out.
Of course, you didn't have to say anything in this first place.
I started it. And then I realized that we're like a cacophony of, and then the coach from the other team comes out, like, and all the kids, my daughter just like, I just saw a bunch of parents like yelling at each other. Like, we have escalated the situation. Wow. I have escalated the situation in a way. So Matt goes to sit down. Like, and then the women behind me that were like, you know, I called your husband a gentleman, starts going off about how our team of girls is too intense against their team of boys. And I was like, again, if I hadn't said something earlier, I would have said to her, I think you should want these girls to play hard. I think it's very sexist of you to be commenting on them when you wouldn't say it about
Tony,
the boys.
Tony, this is why I needed to have her here, because this is the subtext of all three of these games. And I didn't start out with this, but I have a team where it's 7 girls and 2 boys in a co-ed league. You never see that.
I'm talking about stretching. What? I'm talking about stretching. I feel like you as a coach are a good coach.
No. I want to finish this. I think you'll find it interesting.
Okay.
They have there's 7 girls and 2 boys, and we're whooping ass on these boys teams because they don't fucking pass. And then all the parents of these boys, especially, it's always the best player. It's always the parent of the best player. They're being embarrassed because they're sexist.
Quote unquote.
They are sexist and misogynist and can't handle their boys getting their asses kicked.
And our girls are intense, and Matt encourages them like to steal the ball. They are in there. They are in there. They are not backing down. They are playing hard.
But they're not breaking rules.
They're not breaking rules, but there is this sexist undertone that I feel all the time, which is like, hey, hey, hey. Like, they don't say it because they know, but they just are like, they're intense. Like, calm down. Like, a lot of calm down I'm feeling, which is like, makes me crazy. And Matt is intense with them, like, in all the best ways. He's so like, yeah, you did this. It's never like, get the fuck down. Like, it's always positive intensity or like, yeah, get after
it. I am very loud. I'll admit to that. He's loud,
but it's positive. It's like, it's very, it's never like mean or judgmental. It's always like, you got this, like fuck them up.
But the other team can't take that. They can't take like a girl scores and it's like, yeah. And they're like,
And so there's this huge sexist undertone over it all, which is interesting to watch. Because I also hear the parents in the stands talking about these players. They're a little intense. And it's like, goddamn, you guys are assholes. So anyway. Wow.
Okay, thanks Sonny, for coming on.
And also, I mix it up just as much as Matt, so it's not probably, I'm probably not the best judge character of mine. But if you have any judgment,
you're great.
If you have any judgment about that, you're sexist. Bye!
Yeah.
Bye, Danielle.
You see, I would have come off like the asshole. Did who win?
Did your team win?
My team, because you asked, I wouldn't have said. But now I'm going to brag. My team, the last three games, they've had to turn the scoreboard off. Because once you get up to 20 points in a lead, they turn the scoreboard off, Tony.
Oh my gosh. Wow. To like save face, like to not make it so bad.
That's the way they did it in your league, right, Tim? If you got up by 20, they stopped keeping count.
I don't know if they did that. I think so. Yeah. I think after a certain point, they would just, the game is called and then they just play for fun.
Because it would have been,
until time runs out,
the score would have been 60-6 yesterday.
Whoa.
But don't feel sorry for them. They're not passing.
I'm sorry.
You said, oh, oh, oh.
Well, because that is like, that's a lot. And you know people are still keeping track, even if you turn it off.
Fuck yes, we are.
If anything, it's almost worse.
You should see the kids. They get so mad when they turn the scoreboard off. Because imagine being a kid and you don't score that much, except for this game suddenly, and then it's you score, and they're not counting it. You're like, hey!
But I did it!
Yeah, exactly. All right, James, can you start a scene for us, please?
Excuse me, coach?
Yeah.
I heard you saying that your player got punched in the throat. You were yelling that at the ref?
Yeah, she got punched in the throat.
Yeah, okay. Well, so I actually heard the conversation that you had with your player, and your player said that she got smacked in the throat. So I just want to point that out, that it sounds like you're trying to play up the intensity of what happened to your player.
I don't think it matters if I'm trying to play up the fact that what happened, okay? This little girl was punched very hard in the area between her chin and her chest. And that is a very vital area. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Is that the thorax? Is that the thorax or the throat?
Listen, if it was the thorax, I would have said, hey, she got punched in the thorax. Nobody would have cared.
She got smacked in the thorax, not punched in the throat. Well, let's stipulate. I will stipulate that we are talking about a human girl. If we were talking about an insect, I would give that to you. It would be a thorax. I'm willing to accept.
The other team is always insects.
And they're always kicking our ass.
Well, listen, let me be specific then, okay?
Okay, that's exactly what I want.
She was hit in her larynx. Okay? Do you understand what that is? That is the area behind the Adam's apple that carries air from your lung to your voice box.
It's underneath the cricket's wings, right above its chest and its knee joints.
On a cricket. We're talking about our team, the team
humans.
The team of human girls. Yes, on a cricket, the equivalent of the larynx would be the thing that's rubbing the wings together to produce sound. In this case, we're talking about a human girl's muscles that allow her to produce sound with her voice.
Much sound based on what happened.
Excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt. But one of the spiders from your team is eating one of the other kids.
Eating,
eating,
or trapped in their web and spindled up in web.
There's
or wrestling for the ball in a tie up.
No, like in the web, like right over there.
Oh my God. Okay. So that is okay. It appears to be that she is caught up in the web. It's not just a basketball play. It's not a jump ball.
Hey, listen, who is this kid? This spinning spider webs on the other players. This is frigging crazy.
Fucking Peter Parker's sister.
Did she get bit by a...
No, the other team's a bunch of insects playing humans, right?
Wait, did one of the other players who was an insect bite one of our players and turn them into a spider?
I thought it was like a mixed league.
It is. But we've never had one of the kids in the league turn into an insect before.
We cut to another team. It's like a year later. Now there's like one insect on every team, kind of the way in YMCA. There's like one girl on every team, but now there's one insect on every team. All right, guys, you guys aren't passing to the insect. And I'm just going to, as your coach, I'm just going to say it out loud. Just, I know it makes you kids uncomfortable, but the insect has a lot of eyes, lot more eyes than you guys, is a lot more aware of what's going on. So just because it's an insect, and I see you boys not passing to the girls and the insect. So the girls, I see you not passing to the insect. Why?
Everyone sucks and freaks me out.
Every time I throw the ball at the insect, it ducks and like is screaming that it's afraid that it's going to get smashed. And I'm just like,
and as a coach, I got to coach that out of the insect, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't want the ball, don't put all of your tentacles up calling for the ball. That's all I'm saying. Okay. And it never passes back. It takes the ball. It dribbles.
And it is a good ball handler.
Well, the next thing you know, the ball is covered with goo or with webs or in leaves. And then we have to stop the game. I'm sorry, coach.
I got complaints, but you got to see it from the insect's perspective. From the insect's perspective, the ball's covered in sweat and skin flakes and boogers.
And you got to remember that the ball is really big compared to me.
Go ahead. Speak for yourself.
Look, I know that maybe I'm not as good at this game as you all are. I'm trying to get better. And
there's a newbie on every team. You guys, you can't. Go ahead, insect.
Well, I just want to say, like, if you give me the chance, like, that's how I'll get better. I know I'm not where I need to be right now, but please pass me the ball. And like, I promise you, like, I will try my best. And I think if I keep doing it more, like, I could really be an asset to this team.
Okay. And we cut to the next game, and it's tied with 30 seconds left, and it's a timeout. And one of the human kids is injured. All right, guys, I'm going to put the insect in.
No.
We got no choice. Raymond's injured, and we're just going to put the insect in.
What about one of the girls? Can you put a
I'd rather
girl
take
in?
My chances with the insect. I'm sorry. I'm a boomer. Look, Tim, you want to call the play?
Okay.
Just use the insect. We got to use everybody in this one.
Well, let's do number one. Let's do number one. High up post. Pass it down low. Insect. If you have the open shot, take it.
Yeah, there's only 30 seconds. Don't dribble. Just take the shot if it's open.
Don't dribble. And I know 30 seconds seems like it goes really quick, but in basketball, 30 seconds is an eternity.
Okay. I'll try not to dribble, even though that's my best skill.
Hey, wait a second. Is 30 seconds in human time the same as 30 seconds in insect time?
I was thinking it may be longer to you. That's a year to you or something.
Really, 30 seconds is enough time for me to fly from one end of the court to the other like 5 times.
Yeah, but you need the ball with you.
Just shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
Just shoot it.
It's in a track meet.
Just shoot it.
And maybe you guys should try out for the track team next year more.
You think? We'll
have to try out more.
So we cut.
All right,
to
coach, 10 seconds.
Okay, let's get together in here. 1, 2, 3, family. They throw the ball in and they pass. It goes around the horn and the insect gets it. And no one's even guarding the insect. The other team's unaware of it. They weren't aware it was so small.
Oh,
I'm shoot.
Open. I'm
shoot,
open.
You idiot.
I've got the shot.
He just dribbles. He's using every fucking leg to dribble. Stop showing off.
Sorry, I'm trying to get under the ball. I'm going to push it up.
We see Tim gets even near the basket. It's wide open. Pass it. Shoot or pass it. 10, 9.
No,
he's still dribbling.
One more handle.
This
quit
yellow
showing off.
It has yellow goo all over it.
Oh, my leg fell off. Yeah. The ball's too hard.
Tim grabs the ball and shoots it, but the insect's attached to the ball still. So the ball and the insect in this like string of yellow goo all goes towards the basket as time slows down. It slows down for the humans. It goes in slow motion for the humans, but to an insect, slow motion is fucking super slow. It's like,
oh my God. Oh my God. When's this going to end? Oh my God.
He can see like fucking hundredths of a second. Cause that's the way he rolls, you know? And, he sees
you're going to make it, insect. You're going to make it.
I'm going.
We see the insect try to push his wings to, overcome the tension of the goo, pulling the ball back. It's going towards, the ball is in, it's going into the cylinder, but it's coming out because of the goo and going back in as the final 100th of a second ticks.
I know what I'll do. I'll use my stinger to give it one less push. I'll sacrifice myself.
But you'll die.
All I wanted was for someone to finally pass me the ball, and you did.
He stings the ball. It goes through the hoop, as we all know. It was a bee the whole time, I guess. it dies. The ball pops.
The referee blows the whistle and calls goaltending on him because...
Exactly.
The insect couldn't be in the basketball.
Yeah, you can't be in the cylinder. Can't have your...
And cut to after the game.
After the game. Fuck.
Cut to after the game. In the locker room, the team is gathered around the bee as he takes his final buzz.
Give him room, guys.
Listen, B, I just want you to know that we're so proud of you. It was so great to see that after that ball came through that you had enough time to mate and have a family. And look at this. B, your little baby.
Oh, oh, look at him. He's playing with the ball.
Oh, my God. He's he's dribbling.
Daddy.
Son.
And there's a slow fade in the older bee's eyes as he starts to die.
Son, when you get the ball.
Yes.
Don't just dribble. Shoot it.
I will. I will.
Goodbye, son.
Slow fade.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Let's talk some more about that.
That's possibly the tenderest scene we've ever had on this.
The outtakes from Jerry Seinfeld's The Bee.
I never saw that. Movie. So, Tony, what else would you like to take from that story that we can launch on?
Great question.
Okay. Do you think it's okay for parents to yell out anything at the opposing coach?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's okay. I mean, as long as you keep it within the realm of you do have children around that you are leading by example and this is a game. I think that's fine to yell out things.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, like, what are you? I see. Are you talking about like?
Well, I had one. I'll go through it. So one guy was saying the semantics of hit versus punch was wrong. Which I haven't told that story. It's too long. I won't. But a guy told me to sit down and shut up.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Not things like that. I thought you meant like somebody yelled out like my daughter got hit in the throat.
Oh, in defense of something. Right.
Hey. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
it's usually about the game.
Sure. I mean,
it's usually about the score, or the rule, or the play, or something like that.
I was surprised more that how and this is just in general of seeing a crying child and be like, ref, make a call, and then be like, oh, you just have to sit there. Like to judge those two as like a parent, I am this, and I am a coach right now, but
There's crying and there's crying too. I mean, there's, you know this, Tony. There's a kid crying in every sports game, every weekend, every game. Someone's crying. When do you stop crying? I wonder, because they're not really being hurt that bad. You know what I mean. I think really there does become a time where. It's like pride of not crying takes over at some point. I don't know.
Ooh, but is that healthy to have a pride of not crying?
well, when did you stop crying? Because you got hurt on the field. Like, they're not bleeding. Nothing's broken. It's just, it's kind of more the shock of it is really what's causing the crying. Because nine out of 10 times, if not 99 out of 100 times, they can go back into the game. And Sid wants to go back. She's not like 2 seconds later, she's ready to go back.
Yeah.
But no one likes getting punched in the throat. But at a certain point, it's 11, 12, 13. You're not going to just break out into tears when you get punched in the throat.
Of course.
What age do you think that is?
Where you stop crying or cry. I don't know. My dad was very tough on me. And it would be like, do not cry.
Oh.
Even if I was like majorly hurt, it would be like a sense of like, in an okay way.
That sounds bad.
But like in a very, because I would be in a lot of guys' sports too. And it would be like, oh, if you're crying. But like sometimes you get like an elbow to the face or to like the nose or like get like these serious like checked like in different things. And then I did like martial arts and like your like Sifu or Sensei would just be like in sparring or things would be like, of course, no crying.
Oh, really? Let me hear that. Why don't you start a scene and let me hear what that philosophy is.
Hey, Sensei, Sifu, sorry. I might get really beat up here. And just to let you know I've been crying a lot and also telling you that I don't really want to fight. But I'm going to try and do my best to not cry because I know that's a bit of, you know, rising above the pain as you said, you know, what have you to not do that. So I'm going to try my best. And, sometimes I feel like I can't control and it might, happen. And, I know you're more proud of my brothers who take your, class. And I'm really just kind of filling out a contract, that one of my brothers signed and then stopped going. And so now I'm here. But I just want to warn you. I just want to warn you.
Well, listen, we started the family plan here at this dojo with the basic idea of trying to bring in more students. And your brothers, as you know, were all black belts. They were all, as we like to say in the dojo, killers. And they never cried. So when we had you come along, we thought, well, here's an apple that shouldn't fall too far from the same tree. Yeah. So we were expecting you to be tough and not cry. But you seem to cry at any instance that you can. You broke a board and you cried. But it wasn't because you were hurt. Why did you cry?
I was proud of myself, you know, because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. And then for a second, I was like, I didn't even think about the splinters. And then I broke it. And then I was like, I might have some splinters, but I was also proud. And so it was just a mixture of potential pain crying for that.
We cut to the hardware store with her dad. All right, we're about to walk down the lumber aisle. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want you to look at each. Don't turn your head away from those two by. Don't you turn your head away from those 2x4s.
Dad,
look at them.
Why do I need to do this? Okay, I already broke.
You're not going to embarrass our family at the next, whatever they call them, karate recital.
Dad, go you back don't to even the dojo. Care the about it.
Well, this karate recital will begin in about 5 minutes. I see your brother's here to encourage you.
Not really. I think he was just going to make fun of me.
You kill that board! You kill it!
Oh, well, a little bit of an encouragement. So, yeah. Should I get my costume on?
Your gi? Yes. Please put your gi on.
Thank you.
Now you're going to be facing an opponent, not just a board this time. Jesus. You know that, right?
She starts crying.
No, I thought like I broke a board in practice, so I wasn't going to have to face anybody. And again, I don't want to do this. I wish I could get out of the family plan. I know you warned us. We have to finish out.
Yes.
Hello. We see the opposite team, the visiting opponents coming in off the bus, all carrying a board, and they all walk by.
You, are you my opponent?
I think so.
I was supposed to fight your brother, but you're taking his place?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know that I'm known for my wooden personality, my wooden nature. I'm looking forward to a good battle today. I hope that you're as good as your brother is. I was looking forward to facing him in combat.
I'm not. Can I just say that right now? I'm not. So if you want to just not necessarily take it easy, I still want to give it all I got. But if you just want to have just maybe a lighter set or anything, I don't know what wooden
personality means. She's just weeping and weeping, getting tears all over her gi.
I mean, my brother, he just got into this program and he couldn't finish out the contract. Man, I'm doing it and I don't...
Her brown belt is turning blue with tears.
Cut to backstage at the karate recital. What is wrong with you? Your gi is wet. Your belt is soaking.
No, I never got a brown belt. I painted it brown because I thought if I got through the belts faster, I could somehow get out of this. And like the show that the brown belts were having seemed like a lot more pizzazz and stuff.
I'm the one that gives you the belt. Don't you think I would know that you're wearing the wrong belt?
Hey, you're not excuse a black belt me. Yet. Sorry to interrupt, but we're on in five. The brown belt match is in five.
Thank you, five.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's gather yourself. Here, take my napkin. Wipe the tears away.
Your lucky napkin.
Yes. Really? I had this napkin when I fought Bruce Lee. Did I ever tell you about that?
Jesus, only every day. Yes.
Well, I'm the only man who ever defeated Bruce Lee. Don't forget that.
I know. I forget. What's your training style again?
Taekwondo with a little karate mixed in. And then I throw in a little American boxing and a little bit of the, the Israeli boxing stuff.
Fred McGraw. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I know.
We cut to the opponent's, his area of the recital green room where his coach is coaching him up. All right. I want you really wooden out there, okay?
Yes.
I hear that your opponent's really freaked out by boards.
I will be as still as possible. And okay. If she's strong enough, she will shatter me. But I will not break unless she's able to punch me as strong, that is stronger than my threshold.
Yeah. That is some wooden talking right there. You are good and wooden, my friend. Here, try some small talk with me. Let's warm up. Small talk me. Come on. Wooden, no personality.
How's the water?
Holy shit, are you wooden? How's the water? You are ready, my friend. We cut to the ring and they're both out there sizing each other up.
Jesus Christ.
Good afternoon.
She just sees a big old, she imagines him like a big old plank of wood, the way the coyote used to imagine the sheepdog being a big ham.
Yeah. It's kind of warm outside today. It was cooler in the morning.
He's just so fucking boring and stiff.
Curtains up on the recital. All right, I'm sorry to do this, but I have to. And again, feel free to take... I punched him. She
hits him right in the thorax.
His head flies off into the second row. My dad catches it.
Holy
fuck. I did it! Dad, are you proud of me?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can you answer this?
Okay, I'm going to take you back on some trivia. You guys ready? There's no way James will know this. I'm sorry, James. If you know this, oh my God. Okay, so I was looking at Tony's last name yesterday. And do you spell it with an I? The een? Charlene?
Oh, yeah. Charlene's my middle name, though. Yes, I spell it with an I. Charline. Ramos is my last name.
Oh, yeah. I guess I knew that. Doesn't matter towards the story. I was thinking about that name, and I was like, oh, yeah, what was that one-hit wonder, Charlene? But that's Charlene spells it with an E. And it made me look up that one-hit wonder. So that's my trivia question, Charlene. Do you know the one-hit wonder, Charlene?
No.
Tim Meadows, do you know Charlene? Do you remember the one hit by Charlene released in 1982?
82. It's got to be disco-y.
It is. It's kind of a soul song with a little disco edge to it.
Rock the bell or ring my bell?
No. Okay. I'll give you one more clue. It has a spoken word bridge in it. It's too obscure. Okay. So, okay. I'm going to put this in the chat. I'm very curious. I know Tim's heard this song, but now I'm curious if the other two have. It's called I Never Been to Me.
Tim? Now, did you come up with this question because of Charlene, or were you just, you seem so fascinated by this?
I'm telling this has a fascinating story I'm about to get into.
Okay.
Hey, lady, you lady, cursing at your life. You're a discontented mother and a regimented wife. I've no doubt you dream about the things you
Tim doesn't recognize it yet. You will when it hits the chorus.
Someone had to talk to me like I want to talk to you. Ooh, I've been to Georgia and California and anywhere I could
run. I remember this.
Yeah.
Took the hand of a preacher man
and we made love in the sun. You don't know this, Tony?
Out of place. No.
Keep it rolling. So you've never heard the song. Turn it down a little bit, but keep it rolling.
I don't know how to tell you that I have never heard this song. James, have you?
I don't think so. I don't think I've heard this.
This is also it's also a huge drag song in the drag community.
Is it?
Because it's so emotional and campy. And it does have a nice, it is a nice mix of soul and disco.
Okay.
But let's, I want you to hear the bridge because that's where the song gets interesting.
Okay.
So right now, what do you think the song's about, Tony? Just kind of listening to it.
I mean, going around the world and hooking up.
Yeah. But check it out. Turn it up.
Hey, you know what paradise is? It's a lie. A fantasy we create about people and places as we'd like them to be. But you know what truth is? It's that little baby you're holding, and it's that man you fought with this morning, the same one you're going to make love with tonight. That's truth. That's love. Sometimes I've been to cry.
So
how
freeze
dare
it.
Her tell me
freeze
what
it.
Truth and love is.
Okay. So that was a con. I remember listening to that. I remember that when that was the number one or number two song or whatever. I love that song. You hear it. You'll start to hear that now you've heard it. It's a popular one hit wonders song. But anyway, I've heard it a million times and not really focused on the bridge before. I read about it and looked it up yesterday. Apparently, that was a controversial song because it's from the point of view of, like you said, a partying woman who goes around the world and is fucking everybody, really. It's fucking a preacher man.
Been, looking up,
getting undressed,
yeah.
Getting undressed by kings. The point, which I never focused on before, she's talking the entire song. She's talking to a married woman who has a child. So she's like, I've done all this, I've done all that. But at the end, she's saying, you know what, though? I realized it's best to have a kid and a husband.
Yeah, like it's best.
So
to
it
be
was
like
slut shaming single women and all sorts of things. But it's funny. I've heard, Tim, haven't you heard that a million times? Not really focused
yes.
on it.
Yeah, I've heard that song before, but it's one of those songs that has just become like wallpaper music. You know, it's yeah. like, is this in the background when I was a kid and AM radio or whatever?
But that bridge is kind of unusual. You can't think of many songs where I'm just going to start talking now and give a little message.
Yeah. I have to find this song. I don't want to change the topic, but I have to find this song and I'll get it to you, Matt. But it's like one of those songs from the 70s, too, where it's the lyrics are really creepy. And I just remember like the beginning of it is he creeps into my bedroom. He creeps into my window or my bedroom every night. Those are the first lines of the song. And it's about this woman falls in love with this like neighbor or something. They're like hooking up or whatever. It's like when you hear it, you go, what the fuck is, I can't believe that this was actually like released. You know, I'll find it. I'll figure it out. And sorry to get on to
it's the, not the, Hey You by Stevie Wonder, is it?
No, this is by, it's like Bellamy or Belle L'Amour or something like that. I remember because I ended up finding it on vinyl. And I don't want to get off.
Uh-oh, Stay a While by the Bells.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
That's it. Let's
okay,
hear
play it,
it
for
okay,
it.
Okay, one moment.
While she's looking for that, okay. When I was digging deep on that. Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, listen to these lyrics.
Into my room he creeps. Without making a sound.
Oh my goodness.
Into my dreams he peeps.
This is also weird singing. Long and
hanging down. He's got long hair.
Like a drifter. Makes me look at these romantic pictures.
Makes me smile.
Quiver.
With all this love I have to give him, I guess I'm gonna stay with him.
Wow.
Yeah, he creeps into my bedroom.
Alright, let's.
Did you ever hear that?
I've never heard that.
No.
But that's another song. Freeze it. That's another song that if you don't focus on it, you might not even understand what's going on.
Yeah.
He creeps into my bedroom. What are you thinking?
Long haired little creep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when was that recorded?
It's also like, I guess you're here. I guess I'll hook up for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then he has a version like of the song, like, you know, yeah. But that other song though, Matt, I do. I remember it just being like this song that just like it was a big fucking hit.
Yeah.
And it is a horrible. I don't like the song myself.
Well, it's weird. She sings it in this breathy way, the same way that last song that you just it's not even singing. It's kind of, hey, what is that? That's not singing.
And then at the end, when she lays down the law, she drops everything. She's just like, hey, I'm just talking. God is the,
yeah, she really
is
gets
the bomb.
Okay. Now I'm going to blow your mind, or maybe not, but that's not the original version of the song. So that came out in 1982. The original version, I just dropped the link, Anita, if you can play it, was written for a male.
Really?
And it's from a whole different perspective. And like that last one we just heard was from the perspective, she sounds like a partying woman. Like she sounds like she's kind of rich, right? Mm-hmm. This one starts out, hey, we'll just play it if you can. This was released in 77 and was not a hit.
Hey, mister.
I just want a dime.
'Cause I need a cup of coffee and a moment of your time.
So this guy is houseless, Tony. He's like begging this guy on the street, and now he's going to give him the same kind of lesson. But he's destitute because of what happened to him, whereas that woman was like partying on yachts in her song.
Yeah. To talk to you. I've been to Georgia and California and any
place I could run. If a homeless guy came up to me telling me this kind of story, I'd be like, listen, I don't have time for this.
Let's do that. Hey, can I get a dime?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm actually on my way to dinner.
I can walk and talk.
Yeah, okay, well, good. Then you can also get a job or something if you can
walk and talk. Oh, I'll give a story for a dime. You know...
short story, okay?
I once had sex with a nun. In the sun.
Great.
No, think about that, though. Nuns are only supposed to fuck Jesus or whatever it's in their head. But I was hitchhiking across the country and I saw this nun out in a field and she was picking some grapes and we got to talking. One thing led to another and it was sunny. Mm-hmm. We fucked out in the sun. And that led to where I am today, unfortunately.
Yeah. So were you cursed or something for...
No, I'm just was always fucking. That's just one. If you give me another dime, I got another fuck story. One time I was drifting through Tennessee.
Wait, hold on a second. So it's 10 cent per story?
Yeah, that's been my going rate for a while, too. There's a lot of guys. Right. Well, 25
cents. Here's a dime. Here's a dime for the nun fuck story. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Now I'm going to give you 10 cents. You can start the next story, but I'm going to be walking away.
Okay. No, I'm going with you. I don't have my stories don't need to be told in one spot, so I can just follow. But there is this one woman. I was in a Dillard's department store buying some socks. And I asked if I could go to the changing room, and she was going to the changing room, too. One thing led to another. We fucked in the changing room.
Okay, here's your dime. Thank you for that story.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, though. If you ever hey, hold on.
What?
Whoa, almost got hit by a car there.
I know. It's supposed to be an important question. What do you want?
Have you ever fucked in a changing room?
You almost got hit by a car to ask me that.
Yeah.
No, I have not been ever. I'm normal.
Don't do
I'm
it. Just,
I have
a cautionary tale. That's what led to where I'm at today, unfortunately.
I thought you said fucking the nun led to where you were at.
All
right.
No, today. All this fucking. I thought I was making myself clear. Give me another dime so I'm going to clear. I've been fucking. Okay, thank wait. You. There you go.
Okay, here's a dime. Okay, but so what? Is these are incremental stories that led to your demise?
Look, so if you're always fucking, it sounds fun. One time I was on a tuna boat in Alaska. Anyway, me and this other.
How did you get there? I'm sorry. Can you back up a little? Because I was always interested in working on tuna boats. And to me, that's even more interesting than you fucking on a tuna boat.
Well,
how did you get that job?
It was a summer job. You can get it pretty easily. It's a dangerous job. You can fall in. You can cut your hand off. I know. And that's my why question, though, fucking in a big pile of tuna. That's a good story.
But my question is, I understand you fucked on the tuna boat. My question is, tell me the story of getting the job on the tuna boat.
That's a boring story.
I'll give you a quarter.
All right, fine. There was an ad in Craigslist when I graduated from college in 92. And believe me, it's a sucker's job. You can either do that or go harvest weed on Murder Mountain in Humboldt County. You're going to get fucked up one way or another.
That's amazing. That's a great story. And so you went and did you like sit down and talk to the captain of the tuna boat or what?
Yeah, there was an interview. We cut to that interview process.
Hi, thank you so much for coming in. Have you done any sea work before?
No, there's a canal where I live and I've fished for sucker fish out of that with corn on a hook.
Catch anything?
I foul hooked them, if you know what that means. Couple of times.
I know exactly what that means. I'll tell you what, you fuck me on a big tuna pile and you got the job.
And then she said, if I would fuck her on the, I think it's a lonely life being a female tuna boat captain out there in Alaska. I think the ratio is like 12 to 1.
So the actual job interview was the fucking on the tuna boat story.
Yeah, I had zero experience.
You're like separating those stories and you should be telling those stories together. Really, listen, I run a workshop on storytelling and writing and stuff. You should really sign up for it.
We cut to a couple of weeks later and it's like a round table kind of thing where people pitch and we're in the middle of another writer pitching his idea.
Sarah, I really love your idea about the first date that went bad. It's a really great story. All right,
can I suggest something to that story? Might punch it up a little bit.
Sarah, do you mind?
No, sure. Go ahead. I mean, mine's a true story, but yeah, I like notes.
Right, but truth is fiction, and fiction is truth, no. Or something like that. But how about three quarters through that story, you said something about passing through an alley. I thought your protagonist could have fucked in that alley, in the dumpster.
Wait a second.
In the dumpster.
Sarah, you don't have to take this note if you want. You can take it or not.
Are you sure?
It doesn't have to be a dumpster. Okay. It could be a pile of pallets.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It could be a garbage can filled with recyclables. It doesn't matter. I just think it's fun and interesting and a good detail and almost unrealistic not to fuck in an alley. And if it was a true story, I don't understand why you didn't fuck in the alley, but none of my business.
Okay. I guess, you know what? I do have some repressed, maybe sexuality. My mom was a nun, but she slept with this one guy and then she was out of the nunnery and got pregnant with me and it was a whole thing. And so maybe that is, you know, coming up or kind of stops.
Oh
my
God.
Story.
What's wrong?
This can't be coincidence. It can't be coincidence. There can't be drifters all over the place, fucking nuns and fields. It just can't be. This has to be. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I feel so conflicted. You are my
cut
daughter.
Cut back to the present day. Wow. That is an amazing story. That is amazing.
Yep.
So you met the daughter of the nun that you fuck in a writing workshop.
Yeah, it was my daughter.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you? But listen, you're separating stories. You started off by telling me the story of a fucking this up. The bigger story is the daughter was in your writing class. I'm telling you, you gotta take this workshop.
I gotta take another workshop?
Yes, you have to take another workshop. I don't run it though. Another guy runs it.
I only came the first time because I thought it was your workshop. You didn't even show up.
We cut to this other workshop. Welcome to this workshop. I know some of you here were recommended by my colleague, Matthew. He runs a storytelling workshop. My workshop is more about details. We don't care about the story. It's more just about, you know, specifics, details, really detailed prose. Sarah, you just shared your story. I thought it was really great. But would it be all right if we got some feedback from the rest of the group?
Yeah. No, not at all. I welcome it.
Yeah. I didn't think it had enough details.
Okay.
I know that's why you're here, I guess. I don't know. Like, what color was the protagonist's hair? And was it wet or not? Did it smell? Like, I felt like if I knew more about the protagonist's hair, I would have enjoyed the short story more. That's just me. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He had long, wet hair, I guess. Is that an interesting...
Ooh, long hair. If I knew a long hair was creeping in my room versus a short hair.
Yeah.
That's a more interesting story to me. Like it was like someone creeped in my room. I'd be like, oh, maybe it's a buzz cut Marine who I trust.
Well, hold on. Remember, we're just talking about details here. Don't care about if it makes the story better or not. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We can't talk about story.
No, we can't talk about story, but that is a great detail. Long, wet hair. I think that is an amazing detail. Great. Sir, do you have something you'd like to share with the group?
I was just going to add about the details, like with the creeping into the room thing, like maybe you could put sound effects in there to make it like even more like mysterious. Like he was creeping into my room and it was, you know, creak, 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 you know, can you spell
it onomatopoeia?
It's an onomatopoeia. Exactly. Exactly. But that's, and then I think also like be more details about like, why did the guy smell? Because he sounds like he stinks. He's like dirty.
Yeah.
He sounds like a drifter, really.
Because if he had long hair and he didn't smell, I'd assume rock and roller and successful.
Huh.
I would make him a greasy hair, smelly, smelly drifter.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. Am I the only one getting notes today, or is there anybody else, sir?
Yeah, why don't we move on, sir? Why don't you, do you have a story you'd like to share with us, sir? You gave a lot of great, helpful details about the long, wet hair, so I'm curious to see what you've brought for us today.
Well, I have a short story about, did you guys park in the parking lot out front?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. And you, the woman who takes the money for the, she's pretty good looking, right? So we were talking and one thing led to another and we fucked the back of someone's pickup truck. Might've been one of your pickup trucks. This happened 45 minutes ago. That's my idea for a story.
Was it in a pickup truck that was in a spot that was reserved for me? I'm the only person who's allowed to park in that parking lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, well,
I should go.
I guess
Oh yeah, yeah. You might wanna move that because okay. We'll get towed. So, sir, I thank you for sharing that. I would say that was very much a story, but very vague
details. It's hard for me to say details without putting it in story form. Can I try again?
Yeah, and we're just focusing on details today.
All right.
The only detail we got really was pickup truck and parking lot.
Cum smells like freshly mowed grass.
Good.
Come back to the present day. Wow. That story had so much detail. I'm going to give you $5 for that story.
Wow.
Because not only did you talk about the workshop and the people in it, you got into the actual detail of you not being able to think of a detail.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, that's brilliant. It's a brilliant ending for a book. And I was thinking, you know what you should call your book if you ever tell the story of your life?
What?
One thing led to another. I think that's the key to all of your stories.
Well, the important thing is the moral to my story, which is why I was hyping on you so bad, because I saw a lot of you and myself. That's why I want, well, it's not about the story, the details, it's about the meaning behind the story. And we become good friends over this time period. And I just really want you to know and realize that. Mm-hmm. And as he starts to say the important thing, a bus just comes out of nowhere and just fucking hits this guy and just flattens him. It's just fucking horrible. Wham! Oh. And we cut to the workshop where this guy is now telling that story of meeting the houseless man and hearing all his stories.
And then a bus came through and killed him, took him right out in front of me. The end.
We look at all the other writers in the workshop and they're all the cynical types, but they've really been touched finally through all these.
You, young lady, I notice you're crying. Are you okay?
Yeah. This reminds me of when I get in the dojo and I feel like a bus coming towards me, but it's just my opponent and I just get really worked up. I once kicked a man's head off and that's why I'm in here. I don't mean to cut to my story, but that's...
You really that's, kicked a man's head off? Like literally?
I got him clean in the throat and it just kind of collapsed and flew right off.
We cut to her third round in notes with the New Yorker, and we're really excited about your short story. We're going to publish it in our next issue. The editor just it's more of a question than a note, but
okay,
you say it's a true story. And does the head really come off? The editor's wondering me if you just
flew off and my dad caught it and I yelled, do you have my
approval? It makes a totally realistic story sound really crazy at the end. Maybe it just breaks his neck. The editor was,
no, not maybe. I mean, kind of in a way it breaks it clean off. Yeah, for sure.
That sounds... Look, if this is a truth is fiction, fiction is truth situation, you can tell us if this didn't actually happen.
No,
yeah, you can tell us.
I know I could tell you that. This is a true story.
Wow. Hi, I'm from the art department at the New Yorker. I just wanted to show you a couple of... I drew a couple of pictures, just sort of reenacting the kicking of the... So, was the neck torn off or was it like a complete even slice? Was it like this drawing or this
one? Oh my God, Jesus. First of all, beautiful pictures. Thank you. Clean off. Vertebrae sprayed to the back of the dojo.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just want to make sure I got it right. So clean off.
You know, this is making me think that
you know, the fact that you didn't know exactly how to draw this makes me think that maybe we need a second pass of the story with a little bit more details, a little bit more like how the head came off.
Can I just tell you, I've taken so many workshops and one was about detail and the one guy kind of like really got most of the time. But I'll take another workshop. Is that what you're wanting?
you already took a details workshop?
I took a details workshop, yeah.
So I just want you to apply what you learned there.
Okay.
Just add a few more details because we're struggling to see like how this could be possible. So I think that
And we cut to the end of someone reading this, the next draft of this story. And at the end of this story, two editors at the New Yorker are killed with having their heads knocked completely off their bodies. And this is the illustration we see in the New Yorker.
Charlie Brown's Superbook of Questions and Answers.
Okay, humans, I would like to do one more segment, please, if I may.
Took his headphones off and left.
Okay. So Tim and I are going to be in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. Tim is doing stand-up. His, 45-minute set, I assume? Something like that?
I do like 50, probably. 45, 50. Sometimes if I'm feeling good, I'll do an hour.
Whoa. So Northwest Arkansas, go to mattbester.com. I'll give you all the specifics and a link to it. And I'll be opening for him. Doing 20 or an hour if I am feeling it, I guess.
Yeah, you'll do 20. I got more gigs on the agenda. I'll send you some dates too, Matt.
Whoa.
If you want to take a look at them.
Awesome. So
I know you got basketball coach. I don't want to interfere with your coaching.
We can take it on the games on the road, man. Travel team. Okay, Tony, give me a number between 1 and 60. I am looking at the Charlie Brown Super Book of Questions and Answers.
44.
It's basically 44. It's basically an encyclopedia. We'll see what we learn here. Okay. What are amphibians? Do you want to hear what? Lucy, or what is Charlie Brown's sister's name? I forgot. She says, I have to write a report on amphibians. I don't know a thing about amphibians. I hate writing reports. You can look it up in the encyclopedia, says Charlie. Don't be ridiculous. I hate doing things like that. Maybe I'll be lucky and there'll be something about them on TV tonight. Okay, that's pretty funny. Yeah. Amphibians are animals that live double lives. Most live in the water when they are young. After they've grown up, they live on land. I guess I didn't know that. Although they return to the water to mate and lay eggs. I guess I assume they went back and forth. I didn't know they were born there and they were just on land. Why didn't you tell me that?
I didn't know that either.
Stanford. Like most fish, amphibians are cold-blooded. Their bodies have the same temperature as the air water around them. Some examples, frogs, toads, salamanders. Okay, there you go.
Kermit the Frog sings a song about it that I think forever I've had in my head.
About what?
Caribbean amphibian live in the tropical sea. James, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know all the rest of the words, but
keep going.
Caribbean amphibian sounds familiar.
Yeah. That's all I know. I just know that part.
So he's exciting. Saying that they live in the sea.
Caribbean amphibian. Maybe he was just saying where he is from.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Kermit the Frog is from the Caribbeans.
Well, I feel like I'm talking out of turn here. But
I was born in the city on Sesame Street.
Well, yeah, he could be singing about something else.
But Kermit the Frog, that implies he does not go back to the water.
I feel like frogs go back to the water. Yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
Well, only to mate, I guess.
Only to mate.
Only to mate.
That's what.
Well, he wouldn't have went with the Miss Piggy. They couldn't have made it.
He didn't like her, though.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that true? She was always coming on strong to him, and he didn't like her.
I think she had strong feelings. I think Kermy is
Kermy.
You know, he doesn't treat her as well as he should. That is true.
Wait. Why is that the point of view? I think she's coming on
too strong
all the time.
Well, that's who she is. Then he needs to say, hey, I don't want to be with you. He doesn't need to like jerk her along.
Don't they usually like end up together at the end?
Or do they never... I feel like they're always like together, but you think maybe
he's happy like, about that?
Well, I think he can.
If he's either happy about it or he's not, if he's happy about it, then why does he have to play so hard to get? If he's not happy about it, he shouldn't. he should break up with her, right? And not string it along.
Yeah, stop leading her on.
Yeah, and you can be with a partner where it's like, oh my gosh, they're like so one way and I'm another, but it still works out. Right?
Yeah. For sure. You need balance. Or maybe you don't need balance.
Have you...
Danielle and I are a lot alike in a lot of ways, but she balances me very well. In a lot
by stopping
ways.
You from punching guys in the... Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You guys get hot and heavy. I know that. I hear it on the podcast.
Yeah, we'd be fucking.
Yeah, well, delightful.
Well, everyone should do that with their loved one. Mate, partner. I think.
Sure.
Let's do a scene on Kermit, though.
Can I do that voice?
I don't know. Can you?
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
Miss Piggy talks. Kermit.
Ooh, that's good. Go for it.
Kermit, my little.
Miss Piggy. I want to say something. I'm not into pigs.
Well, being said, listen, Kermit. I can't.
I can't do this either.
I can't keep it up.
I know.
I'm trying because I'm also trying to remember how she talks too. And I can't.
You're doing better than I am though. But I was like, I don't know if I can do this for a whole scene.
It was delightful to watch.
Cut. Okay, we gotta start a scene though. Okay, amphibians. Okay. Come on, James, start us off. I gotta recover from that impression.
Hey, James. I don't mean to be like rude or anything, but you're acting like a real fucking Kermit the Frog in our relationship. And I just want to like, what is it? Okay. Miss Piggy can be a diva, and I'm going to go ahead and label myself. I'm not necessarily a diva, but in keeping with this, maybe I am being a bit Miss Piggy. Maybe I can be rough and I do pick you up sometimes and throw you against the wall in a fun, what I think is sexy way. And I do want to spend time with you and I do want to be around you. But it's like we go to a party and it's like play hard to get and like, oh, you know, I'm here. So like what's the deal?
I feel like, look, I like you. I'm not always like, you know, down all the time to be like thrown around and roughed up and stuff. I know
name a time when you are. Name a time when you are.
You know, when we're at home in private, maybe.
I can throw you around when we're at home. Oh, you're embarrassed that I can throw you around or that I do throw you around.
No, it's okay. See, like this is getting weird. It's like you decided that, like, it almost feels like I'm less Kermit and you're more like leaning into being Miss Piggy. Like you've created this whole narrative about like our relationship as being these Muppets. And like, is that even how you want to be? I mean, it's sort of weird. You're leaning into it.
Yeah, that's how I want to be. Miss Piggy's amazing and Kermit the Frog is cute. That would be great. Listen, we're about to go to my friend's party and I've been talking all about you and I feel like people get mixed feelings and everything.
We cut to the party. Oh, there they are. Come on in. Put your beers on the counter.
Oh, I can leave these here?
Yeah, right there. Oh, there he is. We've heard so much about you.
I've heard about all of you too. I don't know that what I've heard about you has been accurate, but you're sort of the Grover.
Well, actually, hi, I'm his better half.
Okay.
A lot of people sort of refer to us as Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
They like to say like, oh, he's Bert and you're Ernie, you know, because our personality, I'm so like Bert. Like, I don't want to be bothered by anyone.
Okay.
Yeah. He's so Ernie. He just wants to always bring in new people and he's so friendly.
Wow. Okay. So Tony had like said like, oh, I've got these two friends. They're just like Bert and Ernie. And I was like, I bet they're not actually like that. But you're describing yourself that way.
Yeah. Aren't we, honey?
Yeah, we are like Bert and Ernie. We totally are.
Oh, well.
Sometimes I'll be trying to sleep, and then this one over here will be like, oh, guess what happened to me today? And I'm just like, can you tell me this in the morning when I'm wide awake to hear the story? And then it'll be something really ridiculous about like, oh, I saw the Snuffleupagus or something like that. And I'm just like, save it. Yeah.
So he's actually saying he saw Snuffleupagus. That's the type of stuff that you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, we could say we're a total odd couple. But, you know, James? Jack James, Lemmon and Tony Randall or something. But no, we're Bert and Ernie because everyone in our friend group needs to match up in an analogous way to someone on Sesame Street. They don't really fit our dynamic.
Okay. Tony, you.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you. Hold on.
Sorry, fellas.
Don't embarrass me. Sorry, fellas. Shut up. Don't embarrass me. Okay. Do you not see their striped sweaters?
Yeah, they're wearing striped like polos and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And
look
they're
around
like,
the party. Give it a second.
Popping their heads around.
Yeah.
Tony. You really need to find an analogous role for him. I'm thinking maybe a big bird. I don't know,
For Kermit?
He's a Kermit?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He is a Kermit? We haven't seen him. You throw him around at all.
I know. He's tiny, but I can't throw him around. Respectfully,
everyone's gathering.
In a relationship.
Look, everybody, you know, I feel like we got off on the wrong foot. I think it's awesome that you all have like.
It's not easy being green, is it?
I'm not green.
Say it.
I'm not green. I'm not.
Just be green already, asshole.
Oh, I'm not green. Okay, I'm just me. Okay.
Just be green and shut up.
Okay, I tried. Tony, I'm just going to stand over here and drink one of my beers, and you all do what you want to do. And
Will you please drink this thing of tap water?
Okay, everyone, we're gathering in the dining room, and our Kermit analog is going to lead us in the Rainbow Connection.
Oh, great. It's been a while.
Oh, so there's another Kermit here.
No, that's you.
No, I just sound like Kermit. Not my personality.
Sir, why can't you be? Why doesn't he be Kermit?
Not my personality.
Who are you? Which one are you?
I'm Fozzie.
You're Fozzie.
Love's a bad joke.
I don't want to be Kermit. All right, so I'm leading you in what was it?
Singing the Rainbow Connection.
Okay.
Go ahead, Anita, put it on.
Is that Caribbean amphibian?
I wish I could help you. I told you
guys don't know Rainbow Connection.
What do you mean? I thought you'd do this. Like, don't you guys get together and do this every week
You're
or something?
Kermit,
you don't
know what? Not me. You're Kermit, okay? Now swing your
Well, if you haven't heard
around.
The Rainbow Connection, you're going to cry when you hear it.
All right.
I'll just play, and I think you'll recognize the words.
Ignore the banjo part.
There are so many songs about rainbows.
There you go.
Hey, you're doing a great job.
You're hot, James.
This sounds just like Kermit.
This is better than I expected. Way to go. Bring
His
it home.
Banjo playing is amazing.
See?
We see all the analogs of the Sesame Street
Gang. Can you do
something
by Life of Pablo?
Rainbow Connection.
The dreamers and me.
And I'm me.
And slow fade as they all sway together. Humans, I've had a very good time today. I've already plugged Tim and I on tour, where you can find out about the rest of his tour dates. I'm just pushing the one I'm at. But his Instagram...
Tim Meadows comedy.com?
Oh, he's got a website. I didn't know
about
that.
Yeah, you Google me, you'll find it there somewhere.
There you go. And MattBester.com will show my three dates in July. And James, tell us where we can see you and compliment you, Pizza Manion.
Yeah, Pizza Manion on Twitter. And that's where I post about shows I'm doing. So if you're in LA, Leroy, my improv group has a show 4th Wednesdays of every month. So come check that out.
Even if you're not named Leroy, it just sounded like you were making that plug to people named Leroy. Yeah. And that's the
Leroy
group.
If you're out there, we got a show just for you.
Was that old viral video when the guy runs into the
Leroy?
Does he
Jenkins.
Say Leroy? Yeah, he
says
say
Leroy Jenkins. Yeah.
Oh, that was so fucking funny.
That was great.
You got to play that as your show intro. You could cut out the Jenkins too.
Leroy! Yeah. Put that as like an EDM drop or something. Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right, I'll go to that show. Tony, same question to you.
I'm in Europe for the summer. I'm doing some shows at the Boom Chicago 30th reunion. If you're in Amsterdam.
Are you there right now?
Yeah. You want to see the houseboat?
No idea.
I'm in the same place I was last time.
Boom Chicago. Oh, there you go.
Whoa.
You haven't
there
left.
You go.
That's awesome.
That would have made me seasick this whole time if I'd known we were on a canal.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, humans. Keep being human.
Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production. Produced by Britt Morris, Amelia Chapello, and Anita Flores. Engineered by Britt Morris. Music by Dragoon. Find our latest merch at budswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.